Amen. Well, good evening. It's good to see you tonight. Now, y'all gonna have to bear with me. I'm getting used to this. I'm not nowhere near as fancy as Mike is, and this thing on my ear, y'all. Good to be here tonight. You glad you're in the Lord's house?
Amen.
Thank you, ladies of grace. Amen. I've known these folks for a long time. I was with Bobby Bozeman then, and he didn't say a thing about going to be here tonight. So, y'all snuck in on me. I didn't know it. But anyway, go back with Sherry a long, long way. And I started to say that about Eloise, too, but not say that. Just Sherry I go back a long way with. A lot older than you are. Amen. Well, have you had a good day today?
Amen.
Lord blessed you.
Amen.
Amen. Then you're ready to go to church tonight, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and put your fingers in a couple of passages of Scripture that I'm going to give you. Luke 12, verses 1 through 3. And then Genesis 13, 1 through 12. Now let me give those to you again. Luke 12, 1 through 3. And then Genesis 13, 1 through 12. Lord has put a message on my heart tonight. I was trying to think on the way down here. And I know that, y'all know that's hard for me to do, to try to think. But I was thinking, well, I'd ever preach just point blank directly on the subject that the Lord's put on my heart tonight. And I don't know that I have. Now, I've preached on it in many of sermons and alluded to it and made statements to it. But as far as taking it as a text, I don't know that I have. So you just pray with me tonight and stay with me and go with me. Now, we read now from Luke 12. If you don't mind, would you stand for the reading of the Word? Luke 12, starting with verse 1. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now, if you would, turn to Genesis 13, starting with verse 1. Genesis 13, verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, under the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled them in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and my brethren, thy brethren, my herdmen, and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, if thou wilt. Take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. I want you to pray for me tonight. I want to try to preach on this subject, a time of separation. A time of separation. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given me to be in this place tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the portion of the word that you've placed upon my heart. Father, tonight I pray, God, that you would anoint me to preach, Lord, just as you'd have this to be preached. God, I pray for that anointing that comes only from you, Lord, to do what you've called me to do. Lord, without you, I can't do a thing, Lord. There'll be no preaching here tonight, Lord, except you, the preacher, show up. Lord, I pray, God, you'd prepare our hearts to receive, God, what you've given tonight. Lord, if there be one under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, who does not have that assurance of heaven being their home if they died right now, Father, I pray you'd begin to tenderly deal with that life, that heart, and Lord, that you'd draw them to you and you'd miraculously save their soul, Lord. And Father, if there be those who are cold and indifferent and God, maybe living a life that's not bringing honor and glory to you, I pray, God, you'd speak with them even now, Lord. Deal with their hearts. And Father, tonight, I pray for the manifestation of your Spirit in this place. Pray for revival, Lord. Revive us again, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And you may be seated. Yesterday, I started a series. I preached yesterday morning. I told you that the Lord had been dealing with my heart over time. T-I-M-E, time. Now, yesterday I preached a sermon entitled, When God Breaks Your Stick. And we had a great time yesterday. But that was yesterday. Amen. Now we're back tonight needing another blessing from the Lord. Amen. And the thesis of that sermon I preached yesterday was this: when the time is right, God will confront you by taking away anything you depend on more than Him. Amen. Now today I want to preach the second in this series, and I've entitled this, A Time of Separation. Now Luke 12, verses 1 through 3, it seems as though Jesus' timing has gone haywire when he speaks to his disciples about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. In verse 12, in chapter 12, verse 1, let me read it to you. It says, in the meantime, when there was gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In verse 1, a huge crowd has gathered. So large, in fact, that they were falling over themselves. Now you would think that at this moment in time, Jesus would turn to that great crowd and would address them with some great pearl of truth, wouldn't you? Boy, I tell you what, if it had been one of us preachers, that's what would have happened. You put us in front of a big crowd, we're going to preach. Amen. Amen. Now, you would have thought at least that he would have received a love offering. Amen? Because you can't have a meeting unless you have a love offering, can you? Amen. But you know what? Instead, Jesus turns to his disciples and begins to do something very strange. He begins to teach them a lesson on hypocrisy. My, y'all see where this is going already tonight, don't you? Amen. Note his urgency that he places on his teaching as he begins to address them. He says, first of all, he was telling the disciples, I'm going to put this in Aaron English, fellas, before I address this crowd, I need to address you. There's a lesson that you need to learn here. And in the presence of that huge crowd, he begins to hammer home to them the importance of not being a hypocrite. Now, if y'all can't amen me tonight, at least pray for me. Because this is going to be a tough sermon. I'm going to tell you that up front. He was saying, you must minister to this crowd. But you got to always guard yourself against the temptation of becoming like these Pharisees that you're going to minister to. Because you see, boys, they're hypocrites. They say they believe one thing, but they don't act out what they believe. They like to be seen in the high places with all the religious garbly-gook on. But boys, you got to learn something. Everything's not like it appears. You got to go a little deeper, boys. Let me tell you something, boys. Them fellas have the leaven of hypocrisy in their life. You got to guard against that. Now he identified the weakness of the Pharisees as hypocrisy by comparing it to leaven. Now what is leaven? Leaven is used in making bread. It's used to pass through the flour. Now listen to this. And cause it to ferment or to swell. Causes the flour to become light. It passes secretly, silently, but certainly. None can see its progress. And so it is with the doctrine of these Pharisees, or this doctrine of hypocrisy. They were insinuating, artful, and even plausible in their presentations. But they concealed the real tendency of their doctrine. They instilled them secretly into the mind, and they pervaded all like leaven. In short, Jesus was telling them, now listen to what I'm going to tell you tonight. He was telling them, you got to separate yourself from people like that. You know what? We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Amen. We are, the Bible says, the salt of the earth. We are, as God's children, the only hope this world has. But let me tell you something. I need to give you a warning here tonight. You need to guard yourself, and I need to guard myself against hypocrisy. But I'm going to tell you what. We think that we can go in among this world, and that we can change them by our mere presence. Unless we're careful, we'll be the ones that get changed. You know what? I've often likened it to going in a room where somebody had the flu. And they were real sick and real contagious. And we walk in our naivety and we said, well, I don't have the flu, so I'm going to come into your room and I'm going to cure you because I don't have it. By just being around you, I'm going to make you better. You know what? In about 3 days, you're going to be in the bed with the flu. Amen. I'm afraid today that the church has lost its power because of this very reason. You see, the world impacts us, but we no longer impact the world. I'm telling you tonight, and I'm trying not to run rabbits because I got a little ways to go here tonight. But listen, there used to be a time that before the secular world would do something, they'd consult with the religious leaders to see what the church thought about it. And today, if something comes up and the church says something about it, they laugh at us. The church has lost her power. The church has lost her testimony. You don't see the headlines anymore of great sweeping revivals taking place. Oh, but you'll see the headline of some preacher who's involved with some woman or has embezzled some church. And tell you what, we've lost our testimony. We become hypocrites. We say one thing, but possess another. Let me tell you something, if we're to experience revival, it will begin when and only when God's church gets back to the business of being God's church. Let me tell you something, we're not in the business of being the city council. Somebody help me. We're not in the business of being the governor. We're not even in the business of being the president. We're in the business that's much higher than that. We're in the soul-saving business. We're in the business of the church. And honey, let me ask you something tonight. How's business? Woo! We need to get back to God's business. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God gives us a command that we're to come out from among them. We're not to live that lifestyle anymore. We're not to condone it. The thesis of my sermon tonight is simply this. Sometimes God will confront you when the time is right and will cause you to separate yourself from others. Let me tell you something tonight, and I don't know why I'm preaching like I'm preaching, Michael. I told you, I tried to remember. I don't remember ever preaching a sermon just like this. But you know what? Well, glory to God. The Bible said in James 1:8, said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying tonight. Somebody needs to come you out from among some situations in your life. Some of you are associating with some people. You need to get away from them. Amen. Well, glory. Let me move on with this thing. Before I get to preaching and can't move on. I want you to see number one, point number one, the liability of the hypocrite. Now I want to go over to Genesis where I was reading with Abraham and Lot, and I'm looking at verse 6. And verse 6 says, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Now, I want you to get something out of this tonight. You've got Abram, who would later become Abraham, and you've got Lot. Now listen to me. Both of them were rich. The Bible makes no bones about that. But they were a liability to each other. Now come on, go with me. Their possessions had become so great that in verse 6 it says, and the land was not able to bear them. They had reached a point. They had reached a point where if they did not separate from each other, they could not grow anymore. The only thing left was them to start in decline. If they stayed together. The only thing left was for them to have arguments with each other and for their lives to be in turmoil if they stayed together. The land couldn't bear them. Neither could they be blessed anymore until they separated. Now I'm going to tell you what. I would not knowingly invest my money in a stock that consistently produced no dividends, would you? Nope. As God's church, y'all help me a little bit here. As God's church, why do we continue to invest our time and effort into people who never have and never will produce any dividends for the church? Amen. I got a preacher friend, African-American preacher friend, one of my churches. I love him to death. You know what he told me? I wish we could get away with this. You know what he told me? He said, Brother Aaron said, when it comes time to vote on financial matters in the business meeting of the church, he said, I'll have my secretary print me off a tithing list of all the members. And said, when we go to talk about something financial and somebody wants to raise their hand and say something about money, he said, I'll look on the list. And said, if their name's not on the list, he said, I tell you, you have nothing to say. Sit down and be quiet. Well, amen. You know what? I believe he's kind of got the thing figured out. Why are you going to waste your time on people who are not putting anything into God's kingdom? Never have and never will. They're like leeches. They suck the life out of God's church. And honey, let me tell you something. It's time that there's some separator going on. Woo! Glory to God. If they want to sit there and moan, groan, and dry them like a prune, God bless them, let them do it. But you separate and go on about the business of the King. Whew. There's too many lost folks on their way to hell for us to be hung up on who's going to do what. And he let her sing last week, and I didn't get to sing this week. Oh, get over it. Amen. Won't argue about what color the carpet's going to be. Just be thankful you got carpet. Won't fuss about what the chandeliers look like. Let me tell you something. There's saints in third world countries who ain't got a clue what a chandelier is, but they know who Jesus is. Woo! Glory! I'll tell you what, these hypocrites are a liability. Oh, they look like you. Oh, amen, yeah. They know how to dress like you. They know how to say the right words like you do. But they are hypocrite. They just like a vacuum cleaner. Sucked on to you just sucking the life out of you. Well, y'all know who them folks are, don't you? They the owner-operators. My. They prevent you from doing what God wants you to do. But I'm here to tell you something in love. I'm saying this in love. That sometimes the quickest route to revival is to separate. Telling you that sometimes that you as an individual Christian, sometimes you got to separate from some people and some places and some situations and some circumstances. You got to get away from it. If you don't, it'll kill you. Amen. I'm not trying to be funny here tonight, but I'm telling you the truth. I've been almost loved to death by some folks before. Oh, I love you, preacher. You hypocrite, quit loving me. You're killing me. Amen. If you want to love me, get right with God. Go to work for God and show me through that that you love me. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes there's got to be some separation. I don't know how God done got me on all this. But in Acts 15:37, you'll find where two preacher buddies got crossed up with each other. Saul and Barnabas. Yeah. Acts 15:37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, who wound up writing the Gospel of Mark. Wanted to take him with him on a missionary trip. And Saul got bent out of shape on and said, he ain't ready to go. He ain't going. Barnabas said, yes, he is. Saul said, he ain't going with me. Barnabas said, well, he's going with me then. And they split and they separated. And listen what God did. He just multiplied. Amen. Ooh. That's the way Baptists do. We multiply by dividing. Amen. We'll have a church split, and the next thing you know, you got two strong Baptist churches. Amen. But let me tell you something. Confrontation will cause separation. And there's a liability of hypocrites. But let me tell you something. I want to show you something here a minute. I want you to see the lust of the hypocrite. Not only the liability of the hypocrite, but the lust of the hypocrite. And I'm reading now from verse 8 out of Genesis. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Oh, this is a family thing. Some of the worst situations I've ever been in is family things. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart the right hand, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. If y'all catch that 10th verse. And Lot lifted up his eyes. It was all well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. Oh, it looked like the Garden of Eden. And the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves the one from the other. Now listen to this 12th verse. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. Now listen to this last little part. And pitched his tent toward Sodom. I'm going to give you about 5, 6, 7 things here about the lust of hypocrisy. What a hypocrite will be. How you identify him or her. Number one, a hypocrite bases his decisions upon what he can see instead of what God reveals to him. How many times you ever heard folks say, well, preacher, I think we ought to do this. And I think we ought to do that. Can I in love tell you that it don't matter what you think? And it don't matter what I think. What matters is, what is the perfect will of God? Amen. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. He lifted them up and he began to look and he said, oh my, that's for me. Look how lush the pastures are. Look how picturesque. Look at all the water that's there. That's what I want. That's what will make me happy. Didn't consult God. My Lord, y'all don't know anybody like that in church, do you? But Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan and a lot of the cities. But now listen to what he did. Number two, a hypocrite places himself in a position of temptation, perhaps thinking he can resist. But he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And you know what happened? It was like the dripping faucet effect. Amen. Seemed like just a little thing to begin with, but the more it goes, the more you listen to it, sound like somebody banging on your tin roof with a sledgehammer. Amen. That's how it began. And every day, listen, every day as he went in and out of his tent, he had to see that thing where he had no business being. Let me tell you something. Number three, a hypocrite becomes indistinguishable from the world around him. If you were to fast forward over to Genesis 19:1, this is what you would find. And there came two angels to Sodom and even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now I want you to understand, he's already moved. He come from having his tent pitched just to where he could see Sodom. And now he's found at the very gate of Sodom, sitting there. Now some scholars interpret that phrase to mean that he was one of the city fathers. He served on the city council of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is God's boy. What's he got any business doing there? He doesn't. Now note the progression of the hypocrite. He made a spiritual decision based on what his eyes could see. He failed to remove himself from temptation. He blended in with his surroundings. Oh, this is coming right down Broadway, ain't it? I said earlier, if you can't amen me, just pray for me.
Amen.
Amen. If you can't help me, don't help the devil, Lord. Amen. Number four, a hypocrite places his family in ungodly situations. Genesis 19:5, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Now I just want to make this crystal clear to you tonight, and I'm not trying to be crass, but you need to understand this. They didn't want those men, those angels of God, turned out so they could shake their hand and say, howdy doody, how are you doing? They didn't want to know them in that fashion, but that word means to know them as a man would know his wife in the context of a marriage. They wanted to have homosexual relations with the very angels of God. You know the only thing that backslidden hypocrite Lot knew to do? And Lot went under the door unto them and shut the door after him. Now listen. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Now listen to what God's boy did. He said, behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. What kind of a man would do something like this? I'm going to tell you what kind would. A hypocrite. You say, well, I never would do that, Brother Aaron. Oh, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? When we sat and we let our children, help me just a little bit here tonight. When we turn a blind eye, when our children bring all kinds of damnable things out of the pits of hell into our very homes, and we excuse it away, and we look the other way, and we pray, and it'll go away, and try to ignore it. And is there any wonder when our little daughters come home pregnant? Help me a little bit. Is there any wonder when they're on drugs? Help me a little bit. Is it any wonder when they get a DUI and we say, well, where did they get it from? Hypocrite, they get it from us. If mamas and daddies would get back to the business of being mamas and daddies, and we'll look children in the eye and flat-footed mean and say, I don't care what any other child does. You're not, I'm not their parent, but I'm yours, and this is what you're going to do, and make them do it. Bless God, we need a little bit more than timeouts. Amen. We need some wore outs instead of some timeouts. Now I'm talking about some honeys. Amen. Can you say honey from the pulpit in a Christian church? I don't know if you can or can't, but I did. Amen. But I tell you what, my daddy believed in timeout. He'd backhand you, and you'd be on the ground for 3 or 4 minutes out cold as a milkshake. I'm telling you what, but when you came back too, things were a little different. We need some mamas and daddies that ain't being hypocrites. Well, little Johnny, I'll take you to church, drop you off, and I'll come back and get you, you hypocrite. Go to church with them. Take them there, sit with them, learn with them, admonish them, lift them up in the name of Jesus. My Lord. And we want to point our finger at the government and say, well, it's causing your failed social programs. No, it ain't. Oh, it's because of defects, and it's because of whatever the government agency is, the adoption and all of that, and the foster children. Oh, they failed. No. It's because mamas and daddies have failed. Amen. I used to tell mine, I said, let me tell you something. If you mind, I love you. I brought you in this world. I'll take you out of this world. Amen. You're going to do what I say do. And let me tell you something. Now, if this is rough, some folks would tell me every once in a while, Bobby Bozeman, they say, well, your preaching just rubs the fur the wrong way. Let me give you a little bit of a clue here. If it's rubbing the fur the wrong way, reach down, pick the kitty cat up, and turn him around.
Amen.
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 Now listen. A hypocrite, number five, loses his testimony and godly influence. Genesis 19:14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place. He was sounding the alarm. They're about to rain fire and brimstone on this place. Get out of here. But listen. Listen. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They laughed at him. He had no influence. Why? Because he was a hypocrite. He had not separated himself from the things of the world. Therefore, the world knew no difference. Are y'all getting this tonight? If God pull the curtain back tonight, how many of us would be ashamed of our Christian testimony, of the things we've done, places we've been, thoughts we've thought? My. Number six, a hypocrite causes his family to perish. He causes his family to perish. Genesis 19:26, listen. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The man didn't even have enough godly influence over his wife to keep her from looking back and disobeying God. Number seven, a hypocrite commits acts that will adversely affect him and others for years to come. You do things when you're a hypocrite that you'll regret the rest of your life. You see, Lot had two daughters, and they got out safe with their daddy. But because of the environment that he had raised them in, did y'all get what I just said? Because of the environment he had raised them in, they thought it not strange to concoct a plan where they would get their daddy drunk one night. I'm not making this up. This is Bible. One the other night. And they would go in and lie with their father. And both of those girls committed incest with their father. And both became pregnant with their father's children. What kind of man would do something like that? A hypocrite. One who says he possesses something but doesn't. Let me tell you something about sin. Sin's going to take you farther than you want to go. And it's going to keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you were willing to pay. But tonight I've looked at the liability of a hypocrite. And I've looked at the lust of the hypocrite. But now I want to give you third, the lie of the hypocrite. Now the lie of the hypocrite is not definitely spelled out in the scriptures I've read tonight. However, it's very much implied. What is the lie of the hypocrite? Simply this. I can handle it. I'm different. I'm stronger than the situation. Proverbs 16:18 teaches us that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You want to know when you're about to get in trouble? When you think you're just too strong and too good and too spiritual to get in trouble. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now I'm headed to the barn with this thing. It's been tough tonight, ain't it? But it's been the truth. I've talked about the liability of the hypocrite, and it is a liability to be around hypocrites. I've talked about the lust of the hypocrite, and we're looking at the lie of the hypocrite. The Queen Mary was the largest ship to cross the oceans when it was launched in 1936. Through 4 decades and a world war, she served until she was retired, anchored as a floating hotel and museum in Long Beach, California. During the conversion and restoration, her 3 massive smokestacks were taken off to be scraped down and repainted. But on the dock, they crumbled. Now listen to what I'm about to tell you. Nothing was left of the 3/4-inch steel plate that they were made of. All that remained of those smokestacks when they took them down was 30 coats of paint that had been put on them. The metal on the inside had deteriorated and was gone. How? They looked like a smokestack. Smoke came out of them like a smokestack. They were on the ship where smokestacks ought to be. But when the examination was made, there was no metal inside. Corruption. Did you hear what I said? Corruption had eaten it all away. I'm afraid tonight many churches are simply smokestacks. Many folks sitting in the pews of churches are simply smokestacks. They look like it. They act like it. But it ain't real. When Jesus called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, he meant they had no substance inside, only an exterior presentation. As I close this sermon tonight, I do so by stating that God has confronted somebody, I believe, in this place tonight and is urging you to separate yourself from the hypocrisy that's in your life. Matthew 23:27, I'll read that verse. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Go with me for 2 or 3 more minutes. Tonight, if we could roll back the facade and see in our heart of hearts, some would appear to have a beautiful walk with Jesus. But you see, we're only seeing the outside. Inside, it's decayed and gone and full of dead men's bones. Some would appear to be wonderful, faithful church members. Some would appear to have healthy, happy marriages. Some would appear to be the perfect father, mother, or child, or the Leave It to Beaver family. But you see, all we're seeing is what's on the outside. The inside is deteriorated. Years of corruption have eaten it away. And it's not what it appears to be. Some would reason when it comes to hypocrisy. Oh, it's just one drink, preacher. I can control it. Every alcoholic started that way too. No alcoholic sat down and said, zippity-doo-ah, oh happy day, today is the day I become an alcoholic. No, they started by saying, I can control this. It's just one snort of cocaine, preacher. It's just one marijuana cigarette. Or it's just one little lie that I told on somebody. And besides, I was in a tight preacher and I had to come up with something quick. It was just one little kiss. It was just an innocent flirtation. It was just one piece of gossip. But let me tell you something. Hypocrisy starts out that way. And we gloss it over. And we gloss it over. And we never deal with the sin. I'm telling you something tonight. It's just like the old West. I feel like this tonight. I feel like the Holy Spirit has walked into this church, pulled out his spiritual six shooter, and said, I'm calling you out. Deal with it. Deal with the hypocrisy that's in your life. God's telling somebody in this place, it ain't me. God knows I didn't want to preach this sermon. I know now why I ain't never preached these sermons before. It ain't no fun. God's calling somebody out saying, you get real tonight. Now you got a choice you can make here tonight. You can pull it down and get some new metal rolled and make it back right. Or you can grab your old paintbrush and just put another coat on something. All them coats of paint ain't nothing but fake. You need to get back to what's real tonight. That's Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I'm just about through. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I know it's tough. But let me tell you something. Sin starts out subtle. Hypocrisy doesn't. It winds up ugly, though. Winds up ugly. Listen to what Jesus told them disciples. Now, y'all thought I'd forgot all about that, didn't you? We've come full circle. Jesus looked at them and said, in the meantime, while the crowd's tripping over each other, boys, I got something to say to you. He says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch as they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, boys, important, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Boys, don't get caught up in their lure. Don't buy into their lie, boys, because there ain't nothing behind the billboard but heartaches, troubles, and trials. You got to go in among them, boys. But you remain true to me. Don't you be no hypocrite. Don't you be no hypocrite. And why? Because he went on to tell them. He said, boys, listen to a minute. He said, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Let me tell you something now. God's got somebody's number in this place tonight. And if your phone's ringing, pick it up. It's for you. Amen. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. There's some folks under the sound of my voice. You think you've got it covered. Let me tell you what. God knows where you laid your little eggs at. And you may be like a chicken that went off and made your nest and think you got it here. Let me tell you something. The fox and the Holy Ghost will find them every time. Don't nobody know that about them and me. I ain't wrong. Wrong. God knows it. And he said, be very sure. Your sin will find you out. It'll come hunt you up, honey. It'll come on your job and get you. It'll come wake you up out of your bed. You'll be sitting at the stop line minding your own business. And whoa, here it'll come. It's going to find you somewhere. Because there ain't nothing covered. It ain't going to be revealed. Neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you've spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which was spoken in the ear in the closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. God's calling some folks out here tonight. You need to deal with it. Now all I got to tell you is this. Tonight, I know how Jonah felt tonight. I do. I ain't never been in no whale, or big fish, but I look like a whale, but I ain't never been in one. I knew you was thinking that. Amen. But listen. You know, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach so they could get right with him. He didn't like them here. Where we go? He said, I ain't going. He ran the other way. But when he got through preaching, you know what he did? He said, well, okay, now I preached it. It's up to you, God. What happened? He said, I want to be saved. And he said, it just don't matter to me. You made me come do what I didn't want to do. Now it's up to you. I'm out of it. I kind of know how Jonah feels, because I'd really rather not preach that tonight. But I have. And I preached it in the right spirit, under the anointing of God. Now what you do with it's up to you. And I can walk out of here tonight and I'm going to go home and get in my bed when the time comes and I'm going to go to sleep. And you're going, if you don't deal with it, you're going to be tossing and turning, seeing this ugly preacher's face and me going, na, 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 na. Amen. But I've done what God put on my heart to do. I preached it as He's given it to me to preach. It's up to you what you do with it. Now some of you think Brother Mike's been talking to me. How else could I have known about that? Brother Mike had to tell me. No, one higher than him's been talking to me. God told on you. Amen. Now it's time to quit playing church. It's time to get real. It's time to quit paying for your automobile with stole money. What are you talking about, preacher? Oh, I'm talking about that tithe money you steal to pay your house payment.